Amen. God does lead us. He makes us. He changes us. He builds us. He does. Oh, thank you. My lovely wife brought my water up and left it out. I've been talking and dust would have been falling out of my mouth in a few minutes. But she made it where it'd be muddy. Amen. And so, anyhow, by the grace of God, as you know, we're talking about how Christ builds the church over the last several weeks. We started on March 17th, and this is just, we're still just cracking. All right, so we're scratching or cracking the very surface of this. We know that Jesus said he's going to build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. All right, so no matter what you see, no matter the situations that are happening right now, how bad and evil and dark they may appear, God is still on the throne. He's not being surprised or shocked by anything that's going on this planet, in this universe. He is absolutely sovereign, absolutely in control, and he has everything running just the way that he would like it to run, in perfect synchronicity with his thoughts and his hearts and his plans. No matter what the gates of hell do, they shall not prevail. They're not going to win. I find great strength in that. Because it doesn't matter what I see, it doesn't matter what's going on, God is still God, and I am not. Amen? The victory's won. And we can hold on to that for truth. And so God has a plan, he has a pattern, he has the foundations, right? We looked at that, and these here are the foundations. It's the laws of Moses, right? That God gave the law to Moses. Actually, we looked out last week from Exodus 20, that God actually gave the law to the people, and the people, because of the voice of the Lord, said, we can't stand it. It scared them so bad that he said, the people said, we'll do whatever he says, but Moses, you be the go-between for us and them. And then Moses entered into the thick darkness, went into the presence of God. God took his finger, he wrote the Ten Commandments. Moses came down and broke the Ten Commandments the first day. Right? But God spoke to the people individually. He spoke to them and the whole crowd heard it. And the trumpet sounding and the mountain shaking and the fire on the mountain and the darkness that fell down from it, it frightened the people. I tell you what, when you stand in the true presence of God, it is fearful. It's frightening. We don't even understand the greatness of God in our mortal bodies. I think that's why we as mortals have got to put on immortality before we can see him, because we wouldn't be able to stand the holiness of God. We would dissolve. I truly believe that. I don't know exactly how it would happen, but I know that the awesomeness of the God who created everything, my mortal eyes, my flesh, cannot contain the power that is in there. So I don't blame the Israelites at the foot of the mountain saying we can't take it. And God chose Moses, the most humble man in his generation, to go and stand and take those books, or take the law. And then he wrote five books that would help us to start the foundation, the laws of God, the statutes of God, that we might not sin against the God who created this awesome, powerful God. So he gave us those. And then after that, he gave us the prophetic books, right? And we know Isaiah and Jeremiah and Haggai and Amos and all those guys, that there are 17 books that are written about prophetic things to happen, not just for a short time, but for a long time. Prophecy is kind of interesting because it has a real close view that is also a picture of things that are way out. Amen. All right? And so he gave us those books that we could know not only the times that we're living in and the righteousness that we need to hold, but there's a promise of his coming. There's a promise of his first coming in the prophetic books, because all those happened before the cross. And there's a promise of his second coming in the prophetic books, because it shows both sides of the same coin. And so in that, but there are also 88 prophets. Not all of the prophets wrote books, but there were prophets in the Bible that brought a certain name. Nathan's one that comes to point to mind. He went and he prophesied to David.
Micaiah.
There's a lot of them throughout the Word of God that didn't have a book prescribed to them. but they do have the Word of God that was worked through them. And so we have all of those and all of those accounts. Then the historical books, I love these. These are all the foundations that Jesus laid out through His Word. There's the historical books, poetic books. There's five poetic books, the Psalms, the Song of Solomon. You know, there's Ecclesiastes, all of those. They're wonderful, wonderful books. Then there's the Apostles' writings, the four Gospels of Jesus Christ. Acts is one book, but it is the Acts of all of the apostles and the beginning of the Gentiles being grafted in to the church that God started with Moses and being called out from the darkness into His light. And so then there's the 21 epistles, again, from the four Gospels and the book of Acts. The 21 epistles, again, are giving us our foundation on what the church should be. Right? This is what we should be. It tells us what God expects. Is this board in your way, honey?
Here we go.
I think I heard her say, the board's in my way.
He's got good hearing.
What are you telling him for?
Yes. What did you tell him for?
That's her husband. It's in his way.
Yeah.
I don't want to bother you while you were talking.
Oh, you can always bother me. Because when I don't worry about that, my brother.
Tim, the Lord is in control, orchestrating all of these events for His good pleasure.
Amen. His good pleasure. Absolutely.
And that puts a different perspective on it.
Yes. It has so much less to do with us. All we got to do is be careful on how you build upon these foundations.
Yes.
Right? You need to be careful as a Christian, as a born-again believer, how you build on these foundations, because your work's going to be judged by God.
Amen.
Right? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 and 4, or 11:3 or 3:11. I think it's 3:11. And so anyhow, and then there's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we will get into all of this. Today we're going to be talking about the saints, the you and me's of it all. And the you and me is really important in this foundation, this foundational work, because God speaks to a people in every single generation to express His love, His grace, His power, His mercy, and His all-ending plan. And today, you know who He's speaking to? Us. You know, in times past, He spoke by angels and by signs, and He spoke through the prophets. He spoke through as holy men were moved by the Spirit of God. And today, Jesus speaks to us through the Spirit and through the written Word of God, that we might be able just to know His, not just to know His plan, but to express His plan to the generation that we're in. This you and me. And with this whole foundation thing that He's been building, there was a problem that happened in the beginning. Corruption came in. Now, God made the world, and when He made the world and all that was in it, what did He say? It is good. You know, when God said it was good, I think it's pretty fantastic. Right? When God said it's good, it's better than I can imagine. Until, man, until sin entered in and corrupted the good work of God. The same problem has existed before, well, God did see the cross before the foundation of the world, so I think I can say that. That God knew that these things were going to happen. His sovereignty, He knew what was going to be right, He knew what was going to be unright, He knew what would be righteous, He knew what would be sin, and He knew that there would be a Savior sent, Jesus the Christ, to touch the hearts and the lives of the individual in this your day, and in Grady's day, and in Roman's day. Amen? These are things, that stupid song, it just popped into my mind, so please forgive me, I don't know all of it, but it goes, this is the end of the world, and I know it, and I feel fine. Okay, all right. I do. I do. If this is that, I am okay. You know, because God's good. But if this is not that, then guess what? I'm still okay. I'm going to live as a saint of the Most High God. We are going to do that. And it tells us, we're going to look at this 2 Peter or 1 Peter chapter 2 and Romans chapter 8. These will be the two scriptures that we're going to nail down in today. Oh, and of course, Christ, you notice I made my cube smaller because I needed space on the chalkboard. And so Jesus is the chief cornerstone. Perfect before God, but He's rejected by men. And we will get into that. And so I said, all these things
to open up to where we're going to be heading today by the grace of God and to get into this teaching. So, Father God, we love you. We thank you so much for your love and your grace, your goodness. I pray, Father God, that we would indeed humble our hearts and our minds before you, Lord, that we can hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. And as always, Lord Jesus, I pray that my thoughts, my words would decrease, Lord, and your word and your thoughts would increase. That the power of the spoken word, the written word of Jesus Christ, the word, the living word, would penetrate our hearts in a real personal way and help us to know and to have confidence in the day that we're living in. And Lord, we're grateful and we thank you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you'll open up your Bibles to 1 Peter, that's where we're going to start. Philemon, James, 1 Peter. There we go. And so, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 starts out with the word therefore. Oh, well, here, let me go a little bit deeper into that, because I got this written at the top of my notes here. 1 Peter 2 and 5, it says, ye also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to, that means in order to, all right, to, in order to, offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what your Bible reads? Then you got a good Bible. Amen? We're to be living stones. Let me ask you this real quick. Were you born a living stone? No. You were born a dead rock. Amen?
Conceived in sin.
There is nothing good in you at all but God. But God saw you. And he says, I'm going to make that y'all family over there. I'm going to make y'all. I'm going to make y'all. And I'm going to take that dirty, unshapable, unmoldable rock into a living stone that's worthy to be used in the building of God. The building of the church. See, we're all sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How many are righteous?
None.
No, not one. Every man has sought his own will. Every man has sought his own way. And then God reached down, Kevin. He reached down and he saw you. He said, that is just old crumbly piece of clay. You know, but there's something in there. There's something in there. I know, because I'm God, I know that when I move over him at the right time, at the right moment, that I will be able to shape him into something that he's not today, that he may glorify me in the future, tomorrow.
Amen.
All of us are that.
Yeah.
All of us are that. Every single one of us were at that point, at one time and point in our life. And so, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, he starts out with wherefore. Wherefore, why for? All right? Wherefore? I love it when it starts with a question. Wherefore? That means you need to back up a little bit to find out why and wherefore it's there for. Sounds weird, doesn't it? I'm sorry. And he's talking about in chapter 1 that we're to gird up our loins of our mind, that we are to walk holy before him. Verse 17 of chapter 1 starts at this one. I'm going to start there and get a running start so we can hit chapter 2 with a full stride. And if ye call on the Father, whom without respecter of person judges according to every man's heart, according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. While you're on this earth, God's moving over you, the Father's calling you, and he's asking you to walk in the fear of the Lord while you're here on this planet. Okay? For as much as ye know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers. All right? You were not born by your will, or by your daddy's will, or by your grandmama's will, or by Moses' will. You were born not by purchasing it with the things of this world, silver and gold. We're going to find out that you were redeemed by the blood of the only perfect sacrifice. He says in verse 19, all right, but with the precious blood of Christ, as the Lamb without blemish and without spot. who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Can I get a praise God for that?
Amen.
Before the foundations of the world, Deb, God knew you. He said, I know her. I know all of her life. I know all of her ins and outs. I know every heartbreak, every struggle. Dean, he knows you. Everything that you've ever done, everything that you would ever do, he knew how to find you in the midst of your sin and call you out of your darkness, conform you into his light. He knew you before you were a living stone and you were just a dead rock. He knew you then. And he said, I love you anyhow. Before. You know, before. And we'll get into that in a moment. Whom, verse 21, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory that your faith and your hope might be in God. All right? So, in the process of time, in the knowledge of God, in the fullness of his grace, he said, I know who's going to believe me. I know who's going to be able to be conformed. I know that there is a group of people in every generation, every time, that will call me Lord. Not just Savior, but will call me Lord. That will walk in the righteousness and the holiness that I lay out for them. That will fear me with a reverence, with an awe, with a quaking even. And he knows those people. And before you knew him, he knew you, right? God knew you. Well, we talked about it before we started the sermon. Before you were created in your mother's womb, God knew you. He had already called you by name. Before your mom called you by your name, he already called you by name. That you might know him. That you might be a representative of his goodness, his grace in this, our evil day. Amen? That makes me happy. I mean, that gives me great joy, great comfort that God and God alone has done these things. And since he has done these things, verse 22 of chapter 1, seeing you have purified your souls, how? In obeying the truth through the Spirit, unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. All right. So how will the world know that you are these people that have been conformed or a living stone being shaped into the image of Christ? It starts with L and ends in of. All right. Amen. And so anyhow, I was making little notes in Sunday school and I was wondering how to spell of, and I put O-V-E. Of. Right. Well, okay. Anyhow, I was wrong. It took me a while to figure it out. But anyhow, sorry. by our love one for another, that's how the world's going to know that we're Christians. How is the world going to know that we are different than them? By walking in the light as he is in the light. We're going to be conformed into Christ. And the beautiful thing about this, I cannot do it myself. I don't know. Josh, can you be good enough? You're pretty good, dude. You're pretty good. You can't do it. I know that you can. No. How about you back there, Kev? Can you? No. So how do you accomplish it?
Jesus.
But what about Jesus?
Covered in his blood.
You got to be covered in. You got to die to yourself. That means being willing to be conformed into his image. Because God resists the proud, the stubborn-hearted, and he gives grace to the humble. Right? We'll find that in James chapter, and in Peter again, about those things, about being conformed, about being. And so, verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which believeth and abideth forever. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass wherewith, and the flower whereof fade falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. There's a lot in there also about becoming living stones.
God does the work. God calls you. He knows you. No man's ever sought after God on his own. We already went over that. God meets you where you are and starts a spiritual work that ends up in a physical reality.
Amen?
Amen? That's how it works. This is practical Christianity here. Not some high-in-the-sky thing, but down in the dirt where we are. And it calls us to do a couple things. We got to believe. What does that word believe mean? Obey. Because if you really believed what you said you believed, you wouldn't act outside of the confines of the Word of God. Amen? If you really believe what you say you believe is real, you would not act on the carnal senses.
Impulse,
yes, thank you. You wouldn't work on the impulse. You would think, you would pray. Before you'd speak, you'd pray, you'd think, right? Before you would take an action, you would pray about that. You would ask God, Lord, do you really want me to pick up that rattlesnake? Not that we're those kind of Christians. You know, those are... Stop. Okay. Thank you. You prayed for me to stop, didn't you? I felt it. Lord, I hope he doesn't say that. And so anyhow, we're born again. And I like this. We're born not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed. So it's not... because of your mom and dad that made you holy. It's not because of your mom and dad that made you see. The incorruptible seed of God was planted in you. The very scarlet thread that ran from the creation into the very last amen that is found in the Revelation. There's a scarlet thread, the blood of Jesus Christ, that runs through that and touches every man who will seek him. I love that from Jeremiah. You will find me when you seek me diligently with all of your heart. So, do you really want to be born again? Do you really want to be a living stone? What are you putting your trust in? What are you believing in? Are you believing in the drugstore God? The one that says if you want to have joy, peace, happy, comfort, love, gentleness, self-control, if you want to have that, take this pill. And just for $19.95, you too, you know, can find joy and happiness. It's all found in the pharmaceutical product. Joy and happiness does not come from a bottle. Joy, happiness, and peace does not come by something that the doctor gives you, unless you're going to Dr. Jesus. If you go to Dr. Jesus, you will find all those things and more. Amen? So, Dr. Jesus tells us to trust him. And here's a clue. All flesh, how much flesh? Oh, is grass. And the glory of man is as of the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. All of us are pretty old, right? There's some of us young. You know, so his grass and his flower, John over there, he's a young man. Nice looking flower. Good looking grass. You young folks back there in the back. Yeah, y'all got some good grass and good flowered boy. Y'all pretty. Pretty soon you're going to be old and decrepit just like me. Your hair's going to fall out. It's going to get gray. Your joints are going to hurt. You're not going to want to get up and move around. It happens. And it's faster than you think. As Scripture tells you that your life is but a vapor. It's here for a moment and it's gone. Right? That's practical Christianity. So what are you doing today? Wherefore? All right, chapter 2. Wherefore? Because I have, excuse me, I guess I need to do 25 first. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. Amen? You're going to get old. You're going to die. You're going to forget things. That's part of life. You're going to lose your balance, right? Things are going to happen. You're going to, that hourglass shape is soon going to turn into a blob in the bottom of the hourglass. That just happens, right? Amen?
I used to have a big chest. Now it's all filled to my drawers.
Chest or drawers. You know, so anyhow. See, I prayed that I wouldn't go there, and there I go. My flesh took control. Verse 25, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Amen? And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Since all of these things are true, wherefore, because all of that stuff I just talked about is true, wherefore, I need to lay aside how much malice? How about, how much guile? Oh, okay. Hypocrisy? Yeah. Envying? Yeah, okay. Covetous? Yep. How about evil speaking?
Amen.
Amen. How much gossip should I lay aside? All of it. How much filthy language? Coarse jesting. Making myself look better that I can make somebody else look smaller. How much of that needs to be put aside? Are you sure? That's what it says. Amen. So whether you believe it or not, that's what it says. So it's true. Amen. I need to lay all of those things aside. And I, Tom, can you do that by yourself?
No.
How about you, Paul?
No.
Well, I know Nancy. Yeah. Hey, Bill, you're married to her. Can she do that?
No.
Okay. All right. So how do you do that? How do you get to the ability to lay all of these natural things in your flesh, the lust of your eyes, the pride of your life, right? How do you get to lay that aside? The next verse tells you, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. So how do you do it? It's right here in my hand. It's by the word of God. Amen. How do I know what covetousness is? Covetousness? How do I know that wanting other people's stuff is bad? By the word of God. How do I know that stealing is bad? By the word of God. Before I was born again, I had no problem taking other people's stuff. Right? If I could get away with it, I must have deserved it. Right? Amen? Now, I wasn't a big thief. My mom fixed that when I was a kid. But, how about doing things my way? I wanted to do things my way. Why? Because they made me feel comfortable. Well, God said, I don't want you to be comfortable. I want you to be uncomfortable that you might know me better. Alright, so where did I learn that from? Tom, where do you learn that from? The Word of God. Now let me ask you, we have a newborn baby that's not here today, praise God. But that newborn baby, how's he gonna grow right to start with?
Milk.
Amen? Mom's milk. Right? And does that baby desire that milk? Ask it at 3 o'clock in the morning. When it's screaming and waking you up out of bed. That baby wants that milk and he wants that milk right now. Let me ask you, babes, do you want that milk so bad that you'll take this book and actually apply it to your life? That you will take it in, that you might grow thereby? See, when I take in the Word of God, I'm able to lay aside malice. Amen. I would love to say all malice, but I ain't got there yet. I'm still a growing babe. Right? I gotta get a little bit better at that. I'm not quite done with all of my guile. Right? But it's better than what it was. I've grown. I'm not nearly what I used to be. I'm not nearly past envying. But that wasn't envying was never a big problem with me, you know, because I didn't care that much to really want other people's stuff. I don't even want my stuff. You like grass? Guess what? You got to mow it. You know? So anyhow, envying, all that stuff, I've learned to grow that I don't need those things. Verse 3. If so, ye have tasted the Lord is gracious. Let me ask you, folks. Do you know that God is gracious towards you? Have you tasted the Word of God and know that it's sweeter than the honeycomb? Do you know that it will supply how much of your needs? All of them. Do you know that God will give you peace that goes way beyond understanding? That He will give you love when you don't want to love anybody but yourself? That He will open up a deeper compassion in you than what you can open up yourself? I only learned that when I tasted and tried the Lord. I tasted Him. I said, man, that manna from heaven sure is good. That well of water that Jesus said to the woman at the well, if you'll take this in, from you will come springs of living water from your most inner part. Taste and see that He's good. He is the well in the wilderness. He is the manna that tastes like coriander and honey. It's good for you. But you've got to take the word. You've got to taste it. You've got to test it. Who's been walking with the Lord longer than anybody else here? Who's the oldest person here? Anyhow, all of you are pretty old. So I'm 60, and I'm saying you guys are old. Yeah, so anyhow, I will guarantee you the oldest Christian that you know, and I'm going to call his name out. He doesn't come here. He comes to men's group. He just had a birthday. He's 92 years old. And he will tell you that it is sweeter right now than it was the first day that he tasted God. But God has been faithful all the way through his walk. When he could not stand on his own, God carried him. Right? When he couldn't speak on his own, God gave him words. When he was short of breath, God gave him breath. And he's ready to go home. He's not going to jump in front of a truck. But if God calls him today, he has no fear, he has no doubt in who he is in Christ Jesus. Why? Because he drank the sweet word of God. He tasted and found out that God was real. He tested God in these things and found out that God was faithful. That he was faithful to make him a living stone, to conform him into the very image of God. And so to whom, verse 4, whom coming is unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Wow. Is Jesus not precious? He was precious to everyone except for the religious people of his day. Amen? And I'm not going to beat on religion. But when your religion takes over your relationship, then you've missed the sweetness of God. Religion is what we do. It's not who we are. We are in Christ. He was the perfect stone. He was the cornerstone of all things. We like to say he's the cornerstone of the church. Well, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made by him, and without him nothing was made that was made. I may have butchered that up just a little bit. But guess what? In the very beginning, when the Spirit of God moved over the nothingness of the world, the Word, the cornerstone. And when God sent the cornerstone out, and he said, let there be, then after that he said, it was good. The Word was good. The Word was right. The world was conformed out of darkness into light. The waters of the deep separated themselves for a firmament and a firmament. And the Word of God did all that. And it was good. Jesus is that Word. That Word is, right now, he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and I've never seen him. But you know what he gave me? He gave me this King James Bible. He gave me this Word, and I can taste him. I can see him. I can try him. I can take these laws of Moses down here, the law that God gave. I can try that. I can take those five books, and I can try that. And when I try that, you know what I find? He is faithful. He's faithful. If I keep the commandments and the statutes of God, I am blessed above all men. Why? Not because I'm good, but because his word is good. If I learn to love the way that the commandments tell me to love, I am
free.
Amen. Free. Thank you. I am free. I'm free from death. I'm free from sin. I'm free from guilt. I'm free from the deceivableness of this world. I have liberty because God has a word for me. When I go to the books of prophecy, I can test those things, right? The way that God said that he was going to do before he did. And guess what? He did what he said he was going to do. He called the ending before he called the beginning. Isn't that great? He knew it's kind of like, anybody ever flip coins to see how many times you can get it right? My total is 5. All right, I was able to flip a quarter 5 times. I got it right 5 times. The 6th time, it was wrong. You know how many times God got it right? All the time.
all the time. He never got it wrong. He will never get it wrong. It's not chance with him. He knows the beginning from the ending. He is the Alpha and the Omega. And if we put our trust in him, no matter what, how the coin lands, it will be for your righteousness, his righteousness in your life. All things, how many things? All things do what? Work together for what? Good. For who? For God. For those who love God. Right? For his purpose, for his plans. Well, you know what? It ain't about you. It's all about him. It's all about this cornerstone, this perfect cornerstone. He was the chief cornerstone, and he was rejected by the religious people of his day. So, he says in verse 5, ye also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Do you know that there are sacrifices that we offer up to God that are not acceptable? You know that? I know I'm guilty of it. I've offered up things to God that were not acceptable to God.
Sounds like Cain.
Amen. Sounds like Cain. You're right. You know, and that's a beautiful thing. I'm glad you brought that up. Cain and Abel, right? Abel brought, we always say that Abel's was better because it was a blood sacrifice. Well, no, because God also in the book of Leviticus called for a vegetable sacrifice.
That's right.
Right? So it wasn't the vegetables that Cain offered up that were bad. It was the heart of Cain that was bad. It wasn't that he offered up fruits and vegetables because God asked for a wave and a grain offering. He bring the first fruits in, right? Make that an offering. There's nothing wrong with offering. If you're a farmer, you're growing corn, offer up the first of your corn to God. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you put your pride, your arrogance, your self-righteousness above that offering and say, this needs to be accepted because it's what I did, that's where sin, Cain's sin was. Because his heart wasn't right with God, not that the offering was wrong. Again, I was taught that wrong in Bible college. Cain's offering was refused because it was a grain offering. I just wish they would have read to the next book. You know? Instead of giving me your opinion.
Issue of the heart.
It is. It's an issue of the heart. The same thing with us right now. The issue of the heart. To be made a living stone from a dead stone is indeed an issue of the heart. Are you willing to be conformed into the image of Christ? God will never take your free will away from you. Nancy, if God was calling you, he says, I want you to do this, that you might become something that you don't know what's going to be like someday, and you have a choice, right? You can say, yes, God, I trust you, I'm going to be conformed, what, not my will, but your will be done, here I am. And then God will start that work because your heart is right. Or you can do like Pharaoh and say, I'm going to harden my heart, and I'm not going to do it. God's not going to break your free will on either side of that. But the blessing of God, the fullness of God, the righteousness of God is only found through the surrendering of the individual to God. Understand that? You will only be conformed as much as you are willing to be conformed. You want to look more like Jesus? Die to yourself. Die to your will, your ways, your righteousness, your thoughts. Oh, church, we are. I think we are way away from where we ought to be. In America, for sure, I can't talk about all the churches of the world. Now I'm talking about all the churches in America. I'm sure that there's a remnant here in America somewhere. And in my pride, I think it's right here. But again, pride is a great sin before God. God resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble. So instead of me saying that it's here, it's in us, it's in me, it's in God. And if I am willing to be conformed, if I am willing to be changed, if I am willing to be a living stone, not a dead stone, then God will make this rock cry out. Right? Now, when the Pharisees told Jesus to have his disciples quit saying Hosanna, he said, if I do, then the very rocks would cry out. So, if I really want to be a rock star, not on American Idol or anybody else's idol, but a rock star in the eyes of God, I must be willing to allow God to take the worthlessness that surrounds me away, that I might shine, that I might be a usable stone, a living stone before God. Verse 6, wherefore, God bless y'all. Y'all love me, right? Amen, a little bit?
Amen.
Wherefore, also, it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion, the chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded.
Amen.
I want to jump up and down on that. I will not be confounded. I'm not going to be fooled. I'm not. Why? It's not because of me. It's because of this perfect stone, this cornerstone, which is in Christ Jesus. I will not be wiped out. I will not be confused. I will not be ignorant of the things that are coming. Because of the law? Because of the prophecy books? I'm not going to be taken by shock when the world comes against the church and persecutes it to death. The individual. I'm not going to be shocked by that. But you know what? Although they slay me, as Job said, yet shall I trust him. Right? The gates of hell are not going to prevail. That doesn't mean against you personally, Skip. You're going to die. You know? Yeah, we all are. You know? And I know when a pastor tells you that, it doesn't sound very hopeful. But when you die, where do you go? When I die, I'm going to be in paradise with God. What's that look like? I don't know. I ain't been there. But I know it's better than this. Amen. It is better than this ball, baby. It is better than this wad of gas. I don't know if y'all smell gas, but it stinks.
Yeah, Jesus doesn't lose.
Amen. Jesus doesn't lose. The Word of God does not lose. And so, this stone that was rejected, verse 7, unto you therefore, which believe, he is precious. Do you believe that Jesus is precious? Whether you believe it or not, right? He is precious. But if you believe he is precious, there is a certain promise, there is a gravitas, a gravity, a graciousness, a power that the world cannot shake. Amen? He's precious to me. My precious.
Yeah.
He is more sweet and good to me than anything that this world can provide. So he's precious. Unto you, therefore, which believeth, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. A stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they were appointed. Alright? Excuse me. Whereunto also they were appointed. I should have this in my notes, but it talks about, I think it's in Matthew 21. I keep looking at the clock. Matthew 21 and verses 42 through 44. Let me make sure. 42, oh, 20, 30, yep. All right, amen. In 41, the folks are talking to him. They said unto him, we will miserably destroy this wicked man and will let not his vineyard... Yeah, thank you. And Jesus answered unto them, did you ever read in the Scripture that the stone which the builders rejected, the same became the head of the corner? And this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in your eyes. It has a question mark. All right, is it marvelous in your eyes? Is it marvelous in your eyes that the stone which the builders rejected is become the perfect cornerstone?
is marvelous. Amen. Therefore, I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But who on whomsoever it shall fall, it shall grind him to powder. All right, look at the differences here. The stone, Jesus Christ, the head corner, if you fall on that, I'm going to break myself. I'm going to break my will. I'm going to break my pride because I'm trusting in God more than I'm trusting myself. I'm trusting in the righteousness and the holiness of God. I'm trusting in His Word, His way, not my word and my way. I'm trusting in Him and not the pharmaceutical countries. I'm pharmaceutical stuff. I'm trusting in Him and not my 401k. I'm trusting in Him and not my abilities. Amen? So when I fall on Him, all of my will, my way, my thoughts are broken. Amen? And from that brokenness, that's that rock that He crumbles, that was a dead rock and makes a living stone, right? Yeah. Now, if you refuse to fall on Him, that stone's going to roll over on you. And when it rolls on you, you will be ground to powder. Nothing left.
Because you, verse 7 is which believe.
Amen. Amen. That's amen. You've got to believe. Yeah. See,
He is precious.
He is precious.
Yes.
He is precious, but I got to believe it. He is the answer, but I got to believe it. He is the doctor, but I got to believe it. He is the Word, but I've got to believe it. He is the manna, but I've got to believe it. I've got to believe it enough to adjust my life to what it says. And as I adjust my life to what the Word of God says, I fall on that stone and I am broken. I'm broken because of my sin, because of my unrighteousness, but I'm made well because of His forgiveness and His righteousness. Believing in His ability to build the church and not my ability to keep it running.
Amen? Which makes you obedient. Because right after in verse 7 he talks about the others.
Amen.
They're disobedient.
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah. Absolutely. The disobedient, those who do not believe that God is Christ and Christ is God. Those who don't believe that and trust in Him have no hope. Thank you. They have no hope in the kingdom.
Yeah.
Well, the good news on that, they have no hope in the kingdom. And they said, what's good news about that? You can ask God to help your unbelief. You can ask God to build your faith. And God will take you right here in your broken, miserable shape, and He'll say, I love you. I will recreate in you a heart, not of stone, but of flesh. I will take what is in you and create something better. Amen?
Application of 1 John 1:9.
Hey, thank you, my brother. You're right. It is the applying of the Word of God.
Yes.
It is the applying of your faith. It is the working out your faith with fear and trembling. It is, Joshua, obedience. It is the obedience of God in your life that makes the difference. How many people say that they really know God? If you ask anybody in America, or the great majority of Americans, are you a Christian? They'll say yes. Ask them if they pray, and they'll say no. If you ain't praying, I dare say you ain't a Christian. Do you read your Bible? Well, I read it once, like 1972. Right? Well, I would dare say you need to check your Christian box. You need to go back. Are you loving? Well, I love everybody but Pelosi. Well, maybe you need to go back. Amen? I'm saying that for my benefit, because I don't love her right now. But God. God's changing that in me, you know? He's changing that in me. He's changing that with O'Biden. You know? He's changing that. I just feel sorry for the guy. Because he's going to stand before God someday. I fear and I tremble for him. And so, but ye, alright, you guys, are you? But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Woohoo! Praise God. I know you're that. A peculiar people,
that you should show forth the praises of him that called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which hath not obtained mercy, but now have attained mercy. There was a time that you didn't receive the mercy of God because you were in darkness. But when the light came and he called you, Bonnie, he called you by name, and he shed his light, his righteousness on you, and you saw that, you heard your name spoken of by God, and you said, yes, Lord, I want that. And God says, well, if you want that, trust me enough to die to this. Now, this can be different for each of us. I know there were a lot of this that I need to die to. And in fact, even today, folks, you may not believe it, but I have more of this, these things that are alive in my life that need to die, that I can walk closer with God. I've used this picture before, and I'll use it again. These are with my hand, puppets. So anyhow, there's this hand, that's God, right? And there's this hand, that's me. Jesus says, Curtis, do you love me? I say, yes, Lord, I love you. He says, then die to this. I said, really, God, I really love this. He said, listen, if you want to be up here with me, you got to die to this. I said, all right, God, I love you. I'm going to do my best to die with this. But I know it's hard. I don't think I can do it by myself. That's good. I'll help you with that. Let me help you to crucify that to the cross. And then he gives me strength where I don't have strength. He gives me ability where I don't have ability. As I walk with him, he lifts me up to that place. Oh, and then we celebrate on the mountaintop. Woohoo! I've made it! I've made it! And then God steps up a little bit. He says, Curtis, do you love me? I say, yes, God, I love you. Do you love me more than this? Lord, I just got rid of that. No, really. Do you love me more than this? I say, yes, God, I love you more than this. And by faith, I learn to die to whatever this is, and he brings me up. And I think I've made it. And then God says, whoop, here I am. And, amen, those who have been walking with the Lord more than just a minute, that is real, right? That's how it works. And the more I walk with him, the higher I get with him, the more righteousness he gives me, the more love he gives me, the further and further and further away my old sinful self becomes. Now, I know I haven't gotten to the Eureka of God, and I won't until this flesh, this corruptibleness, puts on incorruptibleness. I am a living stone. He's molding me. He's making me. He's conforming me into his image. And I was going to get into Romans chapter 8, but I'm not today. Next week, because we'll continue about this stone being conformed. You know, God wants to use every single human being. All of these dead stones down here, broken, worthless, corrupted stones, God wants to use them all. He really does. He likes all of the Legos and the whole Lego box. He likes them all. He wants to use every single one of them. But some Legos are willing to be molded into useful parts, and other Legos are not. Right? Stones. Are you willing to be molded into an image that glorifies God, that you can be put purposely into the building of God, that the glory of God might shine through you, that the light of God might shine through you? But if you think you need to take the light of God and cover it with a bushel, then you've missed the most important part of God. His love, his light, his compassion. You don't light a candlestick and put it under a bushel, right? Jesus talked about that. So, this being conformed, we haven't even really gotten into that. Lying aside, we'll back up to 2:1, 1 Peter. Lying aside all malice, all guile, all hypocrisies, all envies, and all evil speaking. And there is a plethora of scripture that talks about the things we need to lay aside. This is the short list. Galatians chapter 6 is the longer list, right? All of those things, and I cannot do any of them on my own. Because if I could do it on my own, I wouldn't need the perfect cornerstone to show me what's right. We talked about the cornerstone. That's where all of righteousness is shot from. That's how the building is always made square and plumb. Oh.
Forgot to show you. Y'all know what this is?
Plumb bob.
Amos chapter 7 says, Israel, I've set a plumb bob before you. You know what a plumb bob does? It shows you what is straight. It shows you what is right. It shows you what is righteous. Shows you plumb. Shows you what is plumb. It doesn't move. It doesn't, like if I swing it like that right there, pretty soon it's going to slow right down, and that's straight up and down. God says, I've set a plumb bob before you, and I'm not going to move to the right hand or the left hand. I'm only going to move what's right. Do you want to be in line with God? Trust the plumb. You know what the plumb is? Well, we know that this is a plumb bob. But do you know what the plumb is? How I know what's right and what's wrong? This is the King James Bible. And this is what keeps me straight. This is what keeps me level. This is what keeps me being continually molded every day into His righteousness. As you can tell, there's a lot to be said on the subject. I have barely, again, just barely scratched the surface. So tune in again. Next bat time, next bat week, next bat time.
Right.
Amen. It's a continuing story, right, of the love of God for a lost and desperate people. And He wants you to be conformed into His image. He wants you to be a usable stone in the building of the church. But that means I've got to get rid of some of me.
What else is there?
Amen. What else is there? I love, I didn't even think about this until just now. Y'all ever see folks build rock walls? Or rock building? Rock stones, right? Not these new ones that come out of the box already ready to be put together. But I mean one where the guy picks it up and he looks at it and he looks at the hole and he takes a hammer and he whacks it, sets it, and he whacks it. He sets it. When he finally gets it to the right shape, he puts it in place. Who's in charge? The rock? No. But the stonemason, he knew which rock to... What rock can I whack just right to get to fit in that hole? God wants to whack you.
That's right.
He does. He wants to take that carpenter hammer, that stonemason hammer, and He wants to knock the dirt off of you. Why? Because there's something in the center of you that was made in the likeness and the image of God. And that will shine like glory when He's done with you. And you got to be willing. Amen? The only stones God will work with are the stones that are willing to be worked with. If you don't want it, you ain't got to take it. You ain't got to surrender yourself to God. But I guarantee you there's hell to be paid. Or you can surrender to God. You can adjust your life to His Word. And I guarantee you this peace, love, joy, gentleness, patience, goodness. There's more. I guarantee you that if you will walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen? But you got to want it bad enough to do it. No, I can't do it for you. You got to trust Him more than you trust me, more than you trust yourself. Anyhow, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Just thank Him for the time. Father, we thank You for the time. We thank You for this teaching, Lord Jesus. Make me a living stone. Father, keep me moldable. Keep me desiring to be changeable. Again, Lord, thank You for this. James 4, 6, and in 1 Peter 5, I think it's 5. You said, God resists the proud, but He gives grace unto the humble. Father, make us humble stones, that we might receive the full grace of God, that we might be conformed into the image of Christ, that we might show forth Your glory all the days through eternity. And we thank You for those things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.